The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody?
Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 227. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller. Alongside, he only does everything, Kyle Moriarty.
What you guys doing out there playing some basketball, Bunkhead?
Bunkhead, hey, Bunkhead.
And that other Bunkhead. the PlayStation.
Bunkhead.
I don't know.
I was telling Clements a story in the car yesterday about things that we won't talk about here,
but transpired.
The guy that lived across the street from me when I was growing up came up. He's a good friend of mine, Brian, and his stepfather would always call us Punkhead.
Like a
term of endearment. So he'd be like, "What's up, Punkhead?" come out and like we'd be playing basketball in the driveway. You guys playing out basketball in here, Punkhead? So that's brought that up. So that's gonna be a Punkhead.
Punkhead indeed.
So cute.
He was a nice guy.
It's IGN's number one PlayStation podcast. It's the only PlayStation podcast. Number one PlayStation podcast on the internet, last time I checked. On top of PlayStation news, Vita impressions, and a whole bunch of stuff, we have the loser, the second loser from the tester, season 3, Asuka, in here to talk a little bit. Asuka in a little bit.
Oscar?
You weren't here earlier. Later. Whatever. We're time travelers. We've recorded the interview already. Colin, I don't understand what the fuck people's problem is with making normal PSN names. Moriarty-IGN. Game Over Greggy. Seven Winters. Those are normal in words. Then you got Asuka, and you got Suzuka Den, who was her arch nemesis. Come on. What the hell is going on?
Get your shit together.
All right, hold on, though. Now,
who I want to win? I want Reality Pales to win. Christy Pride. Names I can pronounce on the test.
All right, so here's all I want to say is Moriarty might be a difficult name for some people to pronounce. We know it, but when you look at that word, it's a little tricksy.
Suzuka Dex.
Second of all, Suzuka these are just Dex. Japanese names. It's the gamers. You know, gamers love them. They're Japan's. And Asuka.
What is Japan?
Asuka's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She needs to represent.
What is
some
Japan?
Green Bay
Packers. Yeah,
that's a question.
It's a place.
Where
is it?
It's a it's for us. It's fastest to go west, but you can also
go
east.
Over the Pacific Ocean.
Correct.
So it's in Asia.
It's in Asia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
There are 12 items on the list.
Damn.
Some of them are pretty long.
Let's make that a baker's dozen.
Oh, sit.
Oh, you almost caught that. That would have been awesome. It was like,
psh, goaltending, bro.
Yeah.
Number one. These are in no particular order.
No particular order. This is common order.
News you can use.
Further details about cross-platform play have been revealed. When Vita launches MotorStorm RC.
Okay. Vita and PS3.
Yeah,
cross-platform play.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
When Vita launches MotorStorm RC, Hustle Kings, Top Darts, Wipeout HD, and Fury. Wipeout 2048 and Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 will support basically cross-play with a single DLC download per game. Furthermore, by downloading any of those games onto one of your PlayStation devices, you'll be able to download it for free on the other device. So if you download on PS3, you can get it for Vita for free and vice versa.
So when I buy MotorStorm RC on my Vita, I can go home and download it to my PlayStation 3 for free.
Correct.
That's nice. That's a nice deal.
That's
nice.
The only way to do it.
I wonder how they're so like MotorStorm RC. How's that going to be labeled on the PlayStation Store? Will it say like PS3/Vita?
A lot
do you
of
think?
Question marks, probably.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, it'll probably be.
It'll just be a middle finger.
It'll probably say on the icon like PS Vita game or PSN game or whatever like it does now. And then, but something.
There'll be a version network, in both, I'd imagine, right? Like there, yeah. You go to Vita games, there's one there. You go there, the other.
Okay. Okay.
And then when you buy it off the new releases, it'll be a slash. There'll be a slash. There'll be the Vita image, and then there'll be the little controller image.
Cool.
You know what this sets the stage for?
What's that?
Ruin.
Yep.
Also Warriors, now known as Warriors Lair. Lair.
Terrible.
Name.
Terrible.
Ruin
name.
Was a much better name. I can't wait for it. You can call it whatever you want to call it. I'm looking forward to that.
They should have called it Warrior House.
Warrior House.
Yeah.
They should have called it Ruin Working Title because that's what we've known it as for 2 years.
Yo, you want to go back home, play some Ruin Working Title?
See, here's my thing. I don't understand changing the game name at this point. When they did the NGP, sure. Because anytime I mention a game that's on NGP, now PlayStation Vita, I have to say Vita. So I get everyone gets used to it really quickly. Hey, because there's going to be a Vita story on IGN every day, right? Every PlayStation podcast, we're going to talk about Vita. It becomes second nature. However, we only talk about Ruin's Lair or whatever the fuck it's called now when we see it. Lair. When we see it at an event, right? So you go, we tell people every 6 months how good this game is, and now you change the name, and so you're going to get like one more preview out before this game comes out?
Yeah, it's a trademarking issue, though. I mean, those things happen. That's why Dragon Quest was not known as Dragon Quest in America for a really long time, because of trademarking issues. It's Dragon Warrior. So those kinds of
nobody
things,
wants that.
Those kinds of things happen. I think the same thing happened with the NES game or the Konami arcade game, Life Force, which was known as Salamander, I believe. In
that's
Europe.
A stupid name too.
I get nostalgic when I hear the title Dragon Warrior. There's like something about it
because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's an awesome title. It really is. Yeah. Dragon Quest is good too, but
I think Dragon Warrior is actually a better game. Better name.
Yeah, better name.
Same
yeah.
game.
Same game. Better name.
All right. So this number two on the list is a little confusing to me. Because an update just happened about
good
it. I tweeted about it this morning. The question is, did Bethesda know Skyrim on PS3 is broken before releasing it? According to Kotaku, the answer is yes. Kotaku reports that Bethesda's Todd Howard spoke to them at DICE last week and said that they were aware the problems existed for, quote, only a small percentage, end quote, would be affected by it. Their intention was reportedly to fix the game post-release. However, Bethesda has since issued a statement saying the following, quote, the team knew the PlayStation 3 version could run into a bad memory situation, and they coded solutions that they felt would work. And in their tests, the solutions did work. Post-release, a small percentage of users were still experiencing issues where it couldn't keep up, and the team went to work hard on solving it, end quote. I don't really see how that clarifies anything.
They're trying to make it sound like they didn't know it was totally busted coming out the door. There could be a problem, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, to me, because like, I tweeted about it, old you know, Infoboy, a friend of... Podcast Beyond.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Jim Riley. All right, just
Infoboy. Info boy. Yep.
He tweeted at me. He's like, they tweeted a... You know, because I said something on Twitter like, you know, I can't believe Todd Howard actually admitted this. Uh-huh. And like, God forbid they held the game and actually fixed it instead of going gold.
Yeah.
But he was like, you know, they updated, you know, they sent an update. I'm like, all right. So they were obviously misquoted or whatever. But then I was reading and I read it like over and over again. I'm like, what is this? This doesn't clarify anything.
Colin, remember, Podcast Beyond's a conversational podcast. Our good friend Joe writes into beyond@IGN.com. Actually, he didn't. I'm taking Twitter questions this week because I didn't have time to get real questions. But Joe tweets at Game Over Greggy. Do you think that since Bethesda knew about the PS3 Skyrim's issues in some way that it'll affect future Bethesda PS3 game sales?
Probably not.
Totally. Everybody knew Fallout was busted on PS3. Didn't have trophies, had a whole bunch of problems, and people still bought Skyrim.
Yeah, I'm kind of bothered by it. Maybe I'm just not reading something right in the story that we have, but I really don't understand this Bethesda thing about how this clarifies anything. They're saying that they knew that it could run into problems, but not that it would run into problems.
Yeah.
But they clearly did know that it would run into problems because they went to fix it already, and then in their limited testing on the PS3, they didn't run into those problems again. I mean, it's clear from the beginning that the game probably wasn't tested properly. I mean, I don't understand like how much clearer that could possibly be, but... You know, at the same time, I've always given Bethesda the benefit of the doubt. They're one of my favorite developers, and I make no bones about that. They make awesome games. So, I do like to give them the benefit of the doubt on that. The sandbox game is hard to test. It's hard to bug test. It's huge. There's a fucking million permutations, which they made really clear. That things like what spells you use and what houses you've opened and what items you've left places like make things really complicated. But it seems to me that they're blaming the PlayStation 3 in a way that other developers don't, you know, like the PlayStation 3's split memory hard, like, you know, infrastructure with half of it having to go to graphics and I guess half of it having to go to everything else makes it more complicated. But, you know, work with it. You guys are world-class developers.
Yeah, you knew what you're getting into.
So I'm kind of confused about this story. I think it's pretty clear that they probably did know that it was going to break. But you know, who? That's just conjecture. I mean, it seems like Todd Howard basically said that himself.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. And again, I read this Bethesda statement over and over again. I don't really see how it clarifies anything. So I don't know. We'll see what
happens. What's Dave Clayman's role in all this?
I don't know. He's probably responsible for it.
Just for everything.
I would assume. Anyway, we'll see how that plays out. That's certainly not going to endear PS3 gamers to Bethesda.
But again, I think they're used to that. I mean, I just don't think people care.
I think people care.
Well, they care, but I don't. How many people are?
They won't care with their dollars. They care because they complain a lot. But I think it still means
people are still
going to
buy Fallout 4 or whatever.
Yeah.
But listen, like, think about a game.
But listen,
guys,
punkhead.
You know, when I look at it, you know, in terms of like I just played Kingdoms of Amalur, which is an open world sandbox RPG that ran beautifully. That no matter where what I dropped, what things I opened, what things I took, what things I left, the game still ran the same. So, you know, there are studios out there that don't make excuses and make their game work on PlayStation 3. So, you know, take for that what you will, I guess.
I thought it was really interesting. All right, so by the way, this ties in with this. I met a particular developer yesterday, and because certain elements of it might be embargoed, I'm not going to say
who. Okay.
But they are a prominent foreign international developer. It was not THQ.
Naughty Dog.
Just stop. So I know you're not going to name it, but I'm just going to have to keep. I'm just going to have to keep saying no.
These are all American companies.
thank you for picking up on that.
I would love it if you just named it because you couldn't think of anything else. That'd be awesome. But I met with these people, and they are they have done a lot of things, but they have done in the past giant MMOs, like basically really huge network style games, right? And one of the amazing things was that they were saying how, oh, you know, when people think MMO, big, open, almost sandbox style games, they think you can't make it look good because you have to accommodate all those players. You have to, you know, do all this and that. It has to run fast on a network connection. They're like, these are all the excuses that these developers use. And these dudes who are so badass were just like, there's no excuse. Any game should look awesome and the best it can all the time. It doesn't matter if it's big open world, it doesn't matter if it's an MMO. MMOs should look good if you know that's and their games do look pretty amazing. So it's just something to think about.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna think about it.
All right, think about it.
Give
a little
me a
bit.
Second.
NetherRealm right. Studios.
Not NetherRealm, no.
Are you done trying to guess?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Right.
343 Studios.
Yeah, 989
Studios. Now known as
Tony
San
Hawk.
Diego.
Tony Hawk.
Tony
now
Hawk.
You're just naming people.
Tony Hawk. Number three, Namco Bandai has confirmed that Ni No Kuni, the PS3 exclusive RPG from Level 5, will be heading to North America in the winter of 2012.
Ni No Nono.
The game will have both English and Japanese voice tracks. Namco Bandai says the delay in localization is to make sure they get everything right in order to live up to the high quality standards and expectations of Level 5.
Let me just throw this one out there. I'm calling kind of this is bullshit. What's going on? Something else went wrong here. Because that game came out in, what, November in Japan last year? And now they're saying winter of this year, which pretty much means end of this year.
It brings me back to like the old days when you'd have to wait a really long time
RPGs. First of all, did no one start like begin localization early because they figured this would be a game that they'd want to bring over?
Maybe that might be the problem. I don't know.
Sure, but even then, does it? I'm no expert. I'm just some dude in a fucking podcasting room. Yeah. But with that said, does it really take that long to localize a single game? I don't know. Seems kind of janky. Especially when they're like, if they are including the Japanese track, I can guarantee you they could have just released that game here with just a Japanese voiceover and subtitles, not have to record any new audio, and they would have been totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer the English audio.
Yeah, I would like some English audio too.
Okay, well, you guys are fucking xenophobic jerks.
Well, okay,
or something. Well, all right,
that's fair enough.
Yeah, Clement's telling it like it is today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I didn't know I got to localize.
By the way, how excited was Mike Mitchell yesterday? You were home. I wasn't home.
Yeah,
to see
Mike
him
Mitchell on Twitter. He got his PlayStation Vita yesterday. He was very excited.
Vita!
He sat at the kitchen table and broke it down, opened the box very slowly, took everything out one by one, examined it, things down.
I love the delight in the eyes.
Yeah, yeah, when somebody gets a new system.
New Vita. New system in general. True. Yeah, true.
Watching people get the Vita.
Do you guys remember that feeling of getting, like, for example, some of my greatest memories are getting new consoles on Christmas. So, like, you know, you open up the wrapping paper, then it's the new console, and you, like, carefully take everything out, and I'm looking through the instruction manual. So excited.
I remember getting my SNES for Christmas. It was, I guess, 91, because Link to the Past had just come out. And I remember my dad, like, I was allowed to look at the box and so when I opened it, but my dad's like, I'll put it, you know, don't touch it. I'll hook it up.
I will never forget trying to help my little brother set up the 360 and the Kinect when he got it for Christmas just recently. It was like, it was this Christmas.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I was trying to, like, take the controller so I could set all the options, and his hands were shaking, and he, like, wouldn't let go of the Xbox controller. I was like, you need to calm down, buddy. It's going to be okay. You'll be playing soon.
Yeah, when I bought the PS3 for my nephews this past Christmas, everyone sat around as I, like, you know, the whole family was sitting around waiting for me to set it up. It was quintessential PlayStation shit. Like,
firmware.
I turned it on, fucking firmware update that it has to install, like, resets itself, then it, like, freezes. Then I'm, like, putting all, like, the and they're like,
let me stick the Bluetooth headset out. Now, where is it in this option? Fuck.
And everyone's like, this is what you have to do. And I'm like, it's only this once, and then, like, maybe every 2 weeks or so.
You go into printer settings and just fire up sheets of paper in the back room.
Why would he connect to printer?
The PS3 did freeze when I first tried to boot up a game, though, and I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh,
but
man.
It works fine now. They still, you know, my nephews love it. My brother-in-law is still quite engaged with it.
Yeah.
I text with him often, and he's telling me all about all the games he's playing.
I love some things like that. I also love walking my mom through setting up the computer stuff. God bless her wonderful, generous heart, but it's so fun.
It's
fascinating because, like, we come from a generation that's so in tune with all this stuff, and then I have to, like, describe where on the screen, like, a certain thing is so she knows what to click on and stuff. It's just really interesting that, I mean, they just have an entirely different set of skills not needing a computer.
We're the last generation to remember what it's like before computers. Think about that.
I don't actually really remember what it's like before a computer.
Not like the computers existed. Computers existed, you know, the personal computer was invented in the late 70s. I'm saying, like, the ubiquitous, like, everyone has a computer, the internet, it's a given.
That's true. I mean, I
remember those days. I mean, we always had a computer in my house since I was, like, really young, but, like, we didn't have the internet until the mid-90s.
And we lived, I still remember when we first got our dial-up modem, and it was, like, such a big deal.
Was it external?
Such a big deal to go on fucking AOL.com. And I was just like, AOL.
You've got mail.
And then I was like, oh, there are chat rooms. And my mom's like, you better fucking be careful.
Is that your mom said? Bust your generous heart. You better fucking be careful.
Yeah. She doesn't sound like that.
I remember I had a 486 Magitronic tower. I don't even know if that company exists anymore.
Magitronic?
Yeah, it was called Magitronic.
That is an amazing name.
And we had an external 14.4 baud modem that you had to, like, set on top of the computer. You had to, like, hook it up into the parallel port and shit like that. It's like,
Magitronic
Jesus.
Isn't real.
It is absolutely real.
Oh my God.
I look for it on, like, the internet every once in a while. Like, I'm like, what happened to this company? Apparently they're maybe German or something like that, and they totally disappeared.
Some kind of German. For me, it was my one internet story before we go.
Oh, please.
Me and my friends used to go in the sex chat rooms and then print off. Like, you remember how slow printers were? We'd print off these, like, 16-page logs to take to school. Yeah, exactly. But the one for me, when we first got our internet and we got on AOL, when you signed up for AOL, they promised to send you the internet yellow pages. And I was thinking we were going to get this giant phone book that would have everyone's screen name in it. And we got it, and it was just ads for shit. I was like, what the hell is this? So I was so excited.
That's funny as
hell. Everybody's screen name. I wonder what Bill Murray's up to right now. Time to email him.
Remember that shit? You're just putting in random keywords, hoping to find things in the AOL keyword box.
Oh, my God.
Those were the days.
Is there a Ghostbusters key? Oh, there's not a Ghostbusters
And I played, and I actually, one of the first things I ever played on my computer was a MUD, you know, the massively, holy shit, what's the U stand for in MUD? Something
Ubiquitous.
Dungeon. Wow, I can't believe I'm embarrassing myself. This is terrible. I'm the one that brought it up to. Anyway, a MUD. One of the text-based thing where it's literally like, you know, walk forward, you know, cast flame on imp. You know, oh, man, I played that.
That shit's kind of fun.
It was. It was fun. I'm trying to remember. It was something moon. The name of the game was like something moon, I think.
Something moon.
Bark at the moon.
Not bark at the moon.
Moon pie.
Not moon pie. All right, let's continue
moon over
on.
My hammy.
Hey, how many news stories have we done?
Three.
Out of 12.
This is how the show goes. Podcast Beyond the Conversational
Podcast. All right, Colin, shall we continue on?
Yeah, number four, Far Cry 3 has a release date. It will be released on September 4th in the U.S. and September 7th in the U.K.
And it looks pretty from all the trailers.
And Far Cry 2 right now is free for PlayStation Plus subscribers.
Sweet.
Nice.
Number five, Ubisoft has confirmed the existence of Assassin's Creed 3. It will be released on October 30th. No other details are known at this time.
Are you excited for that at all?
No.
Holy shit, I just zoned out. What game were we talking about?
Assassin's Creed 3.
All right, cool.
That's all you need to know, I guess.
I couldn't even... I still haven't been able to get back to Revelations. Like, those first two DNA sequences were just so boring. I was like, I just can't do this.
Those games don't do it for me at all. Number six, the top 20 best-selling PSN games in January have been revealed. I always like revealing these. They are, in order. NFL Blitz, NBA Jam On Fire Edition, Mortal Kombat Arcade Collection, Infamous 2 Festival of Blood, Sonic CD, Payday the Heist, Dungeon Defenders, Oddworld Stranger's Wrath HD, Amy...
Why would you buy that?
Crisis, Resident Evil 4 HD, Shadow of the Colossus HD, Castle Crashers Trying to Real Steel, Darksiders, that can't be right.
No, that's the one up as the digital.
Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, Battlefield 1943, Street Fighter 3, and Saints Row 2. The top five DLC packs hail from Battlefield 3, Black Ops, and Gran Turismo 5. This is my favorite. The top five PS1 classics. I know this one. Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy Origins, Chrono Cross, Final Fantasy IX.
Yes.
Good batch of games. A great batch of games.
Yeah.
The top five PSP games were Corpse Party, Mega Man Maverick Hunter X, NBA 2K12, Final Fantasy Tactics, and Pro Evo Soccer 2012.
I'm glad Corpse Party got some love. Yeah. I'd like to think I was responsible for that. I wasn't.
I have it on my Vita now. I'm all set. I woke up with that in my head today, thanks to you.
Yeah. We listened to a little Oingo Boingo last night.
Corpse Party was one of the most interesting games I've ever played, like in terms of how weird it was.
It's so interesting.
It's just...
This is interesting.
It's interesting that you could actually be scared and freaked out by a little character sprite.
You want to give a quick rundown of what it is for people at home?
Yeah, Corpse Party is a survival horror game, super story and dialogue driven, but it's all sprite based. It looks like an old Super Nintendo game. Super Japanese, set in a high school, a bunch of students, a bunch of friends get sucked into another dimension, basically, where everyone's just completely sentenced to die. Like, from the get-go, they're like, you can't get out, you're all gonna die.
Kind of like our life.
Good luck. And then it's them all, like, slowly dying or losing their sanity, and it's crazy.
All right.
Yeah. I would, and as I say in my review, which you can read on IGN.com, pays the bills, go visit IGN.com.
Yeah.
It's not exactly a game that I had fun playing in the traditional sense. It's more about like sort of investing yourself in this very scary, very upsetting experience. So it's kind of like people that love getting the shit scared out of them at scary movies. Like, it's not like you're going to have a good time and eat some popcorn. Like, you want to get scared shitless.
This very upsetting, very scary experience, like my life, for instance.
Like your life?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes, like you're living Colin Moriarty's life.
Oh, no, the train didn't come.
You have to take the train to work, dude.
All right. By the way, can I just say something real quick?
Yeah, this is going to be.
This is totally a tangent, but I want to say.
Never take those.
Yeah.
I just want to say it. The New York Islanders, 6 points out of the playoffs right now. That's all I want to say.
I don't know what that.
So it basically means, Clements, if tomorrow night they hit the 8-point basket, they're in the playoffs.
8-point basket? There's no basket in hockey.
Well, there is in Rock and Jock. Rock and Jock hockey.
Was there Rock and Jock hockey?
No, there wasn't. I wish. Rock and Jock softball or was it baseball? Rock and Jock, whatever.
What are you guys talking?
You don't remember Rock and Jock on MTV? It was like
No, I didn't even have MTV.
It was I'm on a team with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Dean Cain. Cortez is on the other team.
Yeah, Rock and Jock was like music stars and celebrities versus like and then jocks were like the real stars of the sport, and they would play like the game together. Yeah. On MTV.
It was like pickup games of basketball, and they would have 25-point baskets. It was awesome.
I actually really liked Rock and Jock. MTV used to be really good.
Yeah.
Number seven, Metal Gear Online is ending.
Oh,
4 years ago, when Metal Gear Solid 4 came to PS3, it came bundled with Metal Gear Online, which was essentially a head-to-head Metal Gear experience over PSN. On June 12th, the servers will be shut down for good.
I'm interested. I wonder how many people are playing that.
Still
right
playing
now.
Metal Gear Online? Yeah, me too.
We should sign in and take a look.
Sounds like a lot of work.
All right.
Remember the videos you guys made about... it was you, right? That made Metal Gear's online videos of...
I thought it was Jeff Haynes.
Or it might have been Mark.
Podcast
actually,
Beyond Illumin.
Oh, you're thinking of Snake Humper from Metal Gear Solid 3. Yeah. That's Mark Ryan. That's a Mark Ryan joint. You should totally look that up. Snake Humper.
IGN. Number 8, Darksiders 2 has a release date. THQ has announced that the game will be released on June 26th. I'm excited about
that. Not a moment too soon for the THQ financials.
Yeah, they probably have to get that game out ASAP-ish. Number 9, Resistance Burning Skies has a release date. The very first handheld FPS using dual analog sticks will be released exclusively on the PlayStation Vita on May 29th.
Oh.
Wait a second. Is it really the very first-person shooter portable to use dual analog? Have there been no other portable systems?
Think about it. Think about the first. What is the first handheld with dual analog sticks? The PlayStation Vita.
Leapfrog.
I'm just saying. I know this, but like, are there no like weird, obscure, little goofy? There's been no like goofy tech in the past.
In fact, Sony calls it that themselves too.
Oh, all right, cool.
Why would they lie?
Yeah.
I love how you said that.
Number 10. This is an interesting one.
Put the first dual analog stick. No one will check it.
This indicates that I'm going to win my bet with Greg, by the way. Number 10. Japanese financial firm Nomura released a report on Konami indicating that they expect the publisher to release Metal Gear Solid 5 in the 2014 fiscal year. Its release date between April of 2013 and March of 2014. There's no indication on whether this is an educated guess.
I don't remember what this bet is.
Or if the firm has an inside source of Konami. Didn't you say that Metal Gear Solid 5 wouldn't happen?
No, I never said that. That's not a Greg Miller bet. Metal Gear Solid. No. This is the P-Tom interview. They had the P-Tom thing, and it had the exclamation on the cover, and you're like, they're announcing Metal Gear 5, bro. And I'm like, it's not going to be Metal Gear 5. You're like, yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it wasn't. It was just Konami going, we're thinking about making a Metal Gear 5 one day, maybe. It has to happen.
That's fair.
I love how Colin tried to project this new bet on just the winning
pizza. I just want pizzas. Number 11, that game company's Journey finally has a release date. It will be available to purchase on the PlayStation Network on March 13th and will cost $15.
I predict 8.5.
8.5?
8.5. Who's reviewing it? Are you reviewing it? You're probably reviewing
obviously.
It.
Yeah. I don't think obvious. I mean, you know, if someone else...
You're the biggest fan of sand. You're the biggest sand fan.
I'm a huge fan of sand.
You're a big fan of games with kind of a red hue
to
them as well.
Yeah. Love those red hue games.
All right, all dressed up with nowhere to go. A little Oingo Boingo.
Yeah, it's in my head again.
Number 12, then finally. Friend of Podcast Beyond and president of Sony Worldwide Studios, Shuhei Yoshida, has confirmed that The Last Guardian is still in development. However, he describes the process as making, quote, slow progress, end quote, and that Ueda's vision is, quote, really causing a very difficult challenge for the developers. End quote. He also told Game Informer that the game is, quote, playable, but not to the level of when we can say it's coming out. Which is never.
You stick by your fact that this is not coming out. That's your prediction.
Oh, it's definitely. I mean, so the prediction from the predictions episode was that it wouldn't come out this year at all.
Okay,
I'm positive that it's not coming out this year.
That sounds right.
My prediction is becoming that it's never coming out.
Gotcha.
In its current form, or they're just going to straight up cancel it?
Well, so Clements and I were talking about this. I think it's going to be akin to what happened with Metal Gear Rising, where it's, like, totally scrapped. And it probably already has been, and then they're probably doing it again. Because if you read what Yoshida's been saying to, you know, what it was said to 1UP and stuff like that, it's that, you know, they basically are iterating and like scrapping shit and doing it again.
Yeah.
And that's why the game's taking so long. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of doing it as they go. You know, let's not forget Clement saw the game in action when? Like a year and a half ago or something?
Yeah, NGP's release, at the NGP, announcement.
Yeah, and when Vita was first announced, I think around that time, I was in Japan at their headquarters and saw it played. I didn't play it. I saw it.
That game, the game can never live up to expectations. No. It's just like
Turismo
5. This is exactly what happened to Gran Turismo 5.
It's true in a sense that it's kind of dooming itself. But I would like to point out games like Diablo 3, which I bring up all the time on the show. I know it's annoying.
Why? I'm not annoyed by it.
Still super...
I give you shit for it. That's different.
The Diablo 2 came out when? I think early 2000s?
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So it's been a fucking long... It's been way longer than Last Guardian.
And they've been developing it the entire time?
I mean, not the entire time, but a good chunk of that time, I think, has probably been pre-planning and stuff.
Okay, because you're talking about like a huge dungeon-crawling, randomly generated loot fest that will play played for years. That's going to take 7 or 8 years to develop, maybe. Right?
I don't know. I'm just...
And then you're talking about a game from a studio that makes like... That made a game that can be beaten in 2 hours, and then made a game that can be beaten in like maybe 5 hours, if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
That literally has now taken like 6 years to develop.
Hey,
so we're talking about like an hour. We're talking about like a half an hour per year of development. If the old style, if Ico and Shadow of the Colossus are any indication.
Buddy, what I'm trying to say with my analogy, buddy, is that this is purely speaking to what people's expectations are, right? You know, just because it's taking a long time doesn't mean people won't still be interested and they won't buy it. That doesn't mean... I mean, it could be crap, right? I'm not saying about the final product. I'm just saying if people can still get excited for games this long after, you know, the last game came out, like with Diablo 3, I think people will still be excited and interested in Last Guardian, even if it turns out to be garbage.
I think people will be excited about it. I don't think it commands the attention that Diablo 3 commands. Even if it was released.
That's
on time.
That's very true.
But to me, you know, we talked about it a million times. Assuming Team Ico took a year off after, and that they certainly didn't after Shadow came out in 2005. Then the game was starting to be developed around when PS3 probably came out. So 2006. All right, let's just assume that it started being developed in 2006. I don't know what the hell they were doing if they weren't developing this game, by the way. We don't really know when it started development. Some people tweeted me saying that they started development later than that. I don't know. I've never seen anything about that. And I don't know what the hell that team was doing if they weren't developing this game. So let's just assume that they started in 2006, give them the benefit of the doubt. The game will have taken probably be almost 7 years by the time it comes out, if it comes out next year. I don't know.
Isn't
to
that
me,
ridiculous?
That's fucking outrageous.
Seven,
and like I put it,
7 years is a long time.
And like I love to put things into context, right? Shadow of the Colossus came out the same year I think that Killzone came out. So Guerrilla, which is a team that works really slowly, and we still don't know what they're working on yet, released the Killzone trilogy in that time.
All the Uncharted.
Insomniac's my favorite one because they released all the Resistance games and like 7,000 Ratchet and Clank games. in the amount of time over multiple... It's just like, what the hell is going on over there? I'd love to know.
Slow and steady, Colin. It wins the race.
Yeah, obviously. That game, I'll tell you right now, no matter what, the investment on that game, assuming Team Ico is a small studio, let's say they have 50 people total, paying their salaries for 6 years to make a game that hasn't come out. They haven't made any money, except for on, like, you know, the re-releases of HD, which they didn't even work on.
Right.
Then they've made no money, and there's no way in hell they're going to make any, like, a profit off this game. So, it seems like they have to get it out just to... If I was over there, and Ueda, I'm sure, has very specific vision, and I'm sure and he's obviously a master, you know, at what he does. But at the point, I would have been like, no, the game's... This is what it's going to be, and we're going to get it out. Even if it's an 8.0 and you want it to be a 10, it's getting out. Like, this is outrageous and ridiculous at this point.
I'm going to say something that's very controversial.
Please do.
All right. I respect Ueda, and I think Shadow of the Colossus and Ico are very interesting, very awesome, beautiful games. All right. But I'm now, at this point in time, I wonder if this whole master thing is, like, really what he deserves as a title. Is he an incredibly hard worker and he has great vision? Absolutely. So I'm not going to say that. But ever since him and I talked and we had that whole cultural clash about, like,
the girls
and stuff, and then... That was just kind of like, that was me getting annoyed more at a cultural element than him personally. So let's clarify
catch
that.
Catch people up on what you're talking about.
That the reason that they decided to go with a male protagonist in, one of the reasons, I guess, in Last Guardian, is that because of the way this character would be clamoring around, climbing up things, and climbing up the giant creature, they wouldn't be able to use a female character because you'd accidentally be able to see up her skirt. As in, they can't put pants on a female character or something. She would have to wear a skirt, obviously. Anyway, this was, again, a more cultural problem issue that, you know, Japan has a very different gender roles and, you know, thoughts about sexuality than people in the West do. So, you know, that on the table. But after that, I mean, even if Ueda is like an artistic master, a master would know about the business side of things and about supporting his team and about being able to work with other people, right? And if this game has taken this long, then he probably has a problem too. Like, it's his problem if this game has not come out yet, in my opinion.
It is his problem.
Because he controls... He, among many people, I mean, there are obviously other people playing into this. I'm talking so ignorantly. I mean, I don't know how the inner workings of this go. But from my perspective, he controls a lot of what's going on in that studio. And if he can't get this team working together and work with the publisher that's giving them the money to make this game, then he's got to get over himself.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds
like he's on a high horse and he thinks his vision is more important than...
Producing
content that like needs to help support the people that are working for him. I mean, you know, you can't operate in a vacuum. You know, maybe if he had unlimited self-given funds, like he was like a multi-billionaire and he was just privately funding this whole thing and they could take their time, that's one thing. But like this is like a group effort, you know. You can't have one person hold back an entire group effort. It's like the one guy that's being really pretentious and uptight about the school project. Like that ever happens? It's a terrible example.
Yeah, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, but you know, it's say
the one person. I have a vision for this school. This diorama needs to be really bad.
Really bad example. But you guys get what I'm going.
This is the worst Ford theater in a shoebox I've ever seen. That was start from scratch.
No, you're absolutely right.
But you guys get my point, right? Yeah, totally. I mean, it's. You know, like, I have a lot of respect for him, so I don't want it to come off as an attack, but it's very frustrating to me that this is all happening probably because of him.
It clearly is. I mean, if you read, you know, what Shuhei said, you know, is that his vision is making a challenge for his own people.
Yeah.
You know, and you would think that his vision would be communicated after making the game for all of this time.
Yeah.
Like, what is this game like? How long can this game possibly be?
You know? It's like 400 hours.
Like, I'm just saying, like, if it's anything like the other, and I'll admit, you know, to you that I think Ueda is probably overrated. I think Ico and Shadow of the Colossus are vastly overrated games. They're good. They're good games, and they do interesting and unique things.
I don't think Shadow is Ico though. Yeah, it's a bit like, oh, okay.
It's like
Ico is not as good as everybody remembers.
No, certainly not. I think Shadow's awesome in the sense that, like, it's just vast world. It's fucking quiet and eerie. You just, like, run into these huge creatures that you have to fight. It's a little brutal in a way. You know, like, it definitely invokes these certain things. It's not like a 10.0. You know, and when you see a studio that frankly is much more talented and like Naughty Dog. Pump out Uncharted games like it's going out of style. These you know, it's, you know, Uncharted, you know, Drake's Fortune in 2007, Among Thieves in 2009, Drake's Deception in 2011, probably The Last of Us in 2012 or early 2013. These guys fucking mean business. Their games look beautiful, they run well, they're cinematic experiences. They're putting them to shame. I think that's why, you know, I have an interview that will go up soon. I don't know. Clements and I went to Santa Monica Studio and talked to the head person there. And one of the things she indicated to us was that they basically, you know, Alan Becker, who is one of the, you know, one of the old, you know, OGs basically of Sony, of Sony, you know, yeah. As far as like Sony's PlayStation brand, has been dispatched to Japan. You know, to
crack some fucking heads.
So, you know, and he's been over there for like a year now, I think. And hopefully, like, you know, hopefully to bring that kind of, I think, Western mentality of development that Sucker Punch and Naughty Dog and Bend and all these guys do, because they make games. They don't, you know, they don't make excuses.
Just walking through Ueda's office, clanging together pots and pans in all hours.
By the way, Ueda, you know, you know, when asked why Ueda left, because we still don't know like what happened or whatever, he's like working as a contractor and then he's like leaving. You know, Shuhei said that, you know, it's personal. Clearly, in my opinion, you know, and Mr. Yoshida, you know, I'm just assuming that he was fired, you know, and rightfully so, if it seems like this project has gone off the rails, but they obviously need his vision still, so they're contracting him and stuff like that. Or maybe he left.
Yeah.
You know, the other side of it, like we talked about before, is maybe he's just sick and tired of everyone asking where the game is.
Yeah.
And as a creative type, maybe he just was like, you know, you guys go and fuck yourselves.
Yeah. I mean, like, this like, whole conversation has been purely speculation on our part, outside looking in. And as we know from people like our community, that outside looking in sometimes is often incorrect about what's going on with
especially
us.
For us. Yeah.
We could very well be incorrect about this. But
it's fun to speculate, though.
It's fun. It's interesting.
And it's a fascinating story. And I hope one day we know what happened over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, just what the hell is going on over there. And Polyphony as well.
VH1 should do like a behind the scenes documentary.
Yeah. On Team Ico.
Yeah, about Team Ico and
the
what happened.
The destruction of Team Ico.
I'd like to know what's going on at Polyphony too, but that's another tangent.
Like a beautiful branch breaking off a tree, thus was Ueda's departure from the legendary studio. More after this. And it's like a fucking Hanes commercial or something.
That's how it works. That's it.
Yep, that's how American TV works.
Colin, in Last Guardian, I'm not going to be playing anytime soon.
No, if ever.
But if I went to the bank and I pulled out my 25-cent piece and I went down to the mom-and-pop game store, what could I find on the shelves?
What does this buy me, sir? Get the fuck out of here.
You go get you 1 megabyte of RAM for the beta.
You go to the official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors. Now, I said no. Now, I've thought about this a lot. We haven't had a PS2 release in a long time. Mm.
Time to retire it?
Yeah.
All right.
So it'll still be three platforms, and it'll eventually be two platforms.
Yeah.
Retail PS3 games, Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
Which, 9.0 IGN.com.
UFC Undisputed 3.
9.0 IGN.com.
And Grand Slam Tennis 2.
9.0.
Do we? I don't even know.
Yeah.
That one get reviewed? I don't even know.
And then here it is, guys. All of the Vita games that are now available at retail. All
right.
Uncharted Golden Abyss.
8.5 IGN.com.
Wipeout 2048.
7.0 IGN.com.
Hot Shots Golf 6.
6.5 IGN.com. That's a breaking score. That's not live on the site yet. We don't know if it'll be up eventually.
Mod Nation Racers Road Trip.
7.0 IGN.com.
Illumines Electronic Symphony.
9.0 IGN.com.
Dungeon Hunter Alliance.
5.5 IGN.com.
Michael Jackson, The Experience.
6.5 IGN.com.
Rayman Origins.
9.0 IGN.com.
Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
8.5 IGN.com.
Blaze Blue Continuum Shift 2.
8.5 IGN.com. Marvel vs. Capcom was an 8.0. Sorry, fuck.
FIFA Soccer.
Sorry, 8.0 IGN.com.
Virtua Tennis 4.
That one's being reviewed by Jack as we speak.
And Asphalt Injection.
Asphalt Injection, which Colin called Drip Drip 5, 6.0 IGN.com.
Yeah, I'm just looking at... You should take a picture so people can see. Maybe we'll put it... Well, maybe we'll embed it in the article.
Drip Drip 5.
Don't forget
You know, Twister. Greg's got all these names written down.
Yeah, but if you watched the PlayStation conversation earlier this week, I had the list of Vita reviews we'd done already. So then this morning I added the rest to another piece of paper and it just looks like chaos.
It says... I think it says Dryhon 5. Dryhon 5.
I've taken a picture. Hopefully Clements can embed it in the article today.
Cool.
Or whoever assembles
it. That's it.
Did that list include the downloadable stuff as well?
No, download-only games I didn't include.
Okay, so for including Super Stardust Delta, correct?
Mm-hmm. 9.5 IGN.com.
Escape Plan,
which I'll review tomorrow. I'll tell you right now, it's very good.
Did you say F1 2011, Greg?
We did not. Okay. Being reviewed right now in the UK.
FIFA Soccer, you said what Jack was working
on?
Yeah,
8.0. IGN.com.
Hustle Kings, right?
No, that didn't come out this week.
Oh, right.
Luminous, we said?
Yeah, Luminous 9.0, okay. IGN.com.
Sorry.
It's fine.
Said Wipeout.
You're doing good.
Said Mod Nation. Okay, yeah. So we got it. That's all right. It. All right. Oh, so then the other things that came out on the PlayStation Network this week include, for PSN games, The House of the Dead 3. Hooray.
Mark Worms, reviewing for IGN.com.
Worms Ultimate Mayhem.
We're skipping, passing.
And then Grand Theft Auto 4, full game download for $20.
Oh, man.
Great deal.
That's a great game.
I think there's a deal for PS Plus members, too, to get that Lost in the Dam and Ballad of Gay Tony for like a really cheap price, like $25 maybe.
Nice.
Now, remember this, Mass Effect 3 demo now available on the PlayStation Network this week, so go check that out.
Finish the fight.
Let's see what else we got here. What else we got?
Are you doing the Halo Bollywood?
I was doing the Halo Bollywood.
I need a weapon.
That's also from the. If you didn't see this April Fool's video IGN did, you should go watch
that. That was 2 years ago, right? Yeah. That wasn't our last one, right? The last one was Harry Potter.
Was that last one we did? Wow.
Yeah.
Seems like we've done one. Oh,
also, if you still are rocking the PSP, or you want, I guess you could potentially download this to your Vita. I don't know. But you can get Hakuoki, Demon of the Fleeting Blossom.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that is.
I don't know either, but it's kind of a rad title.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll be reviewing. Hakuoki. Are we reviewing, with the exception of Final Fantasy Type-0, we won't be reviewing PSP games.
For an interesting $25.
Yeah, that's a good price.
Strange price point.
By the way, best-selling game in Japan last week, PSP game, the new Suikoden.
Yeah,
second best-selling game in Japan last week, Gravity Days.
Yeah!
Gravity Rush in the United States. Yeah.
I don't know why it's not called Gravity Days.
So here it comes.
Come
the thing we've all feared for our entire lives.
The PlayStation Vita?
Pick of the week.
Oh.
Pick of the week.
Pick of the week, pick of the week. We all have a horse in this race.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right.
Clements, I'm guessing. What are you picking?
Wait, hold on. Let me just make sure that I didn't review any huge Vita games. No, they were all lower. So, yeah, I guess I'm going to have to go with Twisted Metal.
I would go with Luminous.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Dryhon 5.
For real, what are you picking?
Super Stardust.
Of course. All three great games.
Yeah, all three.
Two nines and 9.5 for Stardust.
Yeah.
All right. You had to pick one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess Stardust is cheap and awesome.
Yeah.
That would be the way to go. $10 for Stardust.
I'm going
to
lay it all on the line right now.
Oh, my God. I don't know what that means.
Because I've been getting a lot of messages on Twitter about what games I should buy. Should I get this game, that game, whatever. Here are the games that I would buy.
Okay, so this is merging with Topic of the Week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, what is
Topic of the Week is the PlayStation Vita.
I would buy Super Stardust,
uh-huh.
Uncharted, Escape Plan, Luminous, and Dryhon 5. And that's it.
You wouldn't actually get Asphalt Injection,
I haven't reviewed it yet. Tales from Space, Mutant Blobs Attack, Really fun. Really, really fun. And
you could use the D-pad in it.
You can use the D-pad, yeah.
Because that was my major complaint about Blobs from Space or whatever the fuck it's called on PSN. Fun game, but games like that shouldn't be played on an analog stick, IMO. So it would be like playing Mega Man with an analog stick.
Yeah, here you go.
What an abomination that would be.
I got to say, my must-buy, and this is actually, like, the games I'm going to be playing. I love how there's a Green Lantern symbol next to FIFA.
Yeah, I drew that.
The games I will actually play when I get my Vita next week, my personal Vita, Super Stardust and Luminous and...
Escape Plan.
Maybe Blaze Blue. Probably not Escape Plan.
Really?
I don't know.
What about Stardust?
I said Super Stardust. Okay. That was the first thing I said.
That's the Super Stardust Delta is a must play. Must play.
$10. Come on. You're going to blow it on cocaine anyway. You might as well just play that.
$10 cocaine. Cocaine's expensive, isn't it?
No, it's the opposite. Cocaine, you can get for $10 and you get like 3 pounds of cocaine.
I don't think so. Maybe in like 1790 money. dare I say, Super Stardust Delta is better than what on the game on PS3 because it's really made for the Vita. It's made for a small screen. Your eyes aren't like darting around the screen. The bigger the TV I played Super Stardust HD on, the harder the game became. So like being concentrated on this little screen is just perfect. And it's frankly mesmerizing people on the train when I play it around them. It's very clear. Mm-hmm. Dude's next to me, like just kind of staring at it. I have no idea what the hell's going on.
I love when Greg was playing. It was one of those great awkward situations where I don't like to sit down on the train, and Greg was sitting down, and someone sat next to him. So then we had to just pretend we didn't know each other for the rest of the train ride. Yeah. And Greg,
you don't want to talk over somebody.
Yeah, I don't want to talk over this lady's shoulder. But this lady sat down, and you threw on Uncharted. Yeah. And you're playing Uncharted, and this lady's just like,
yeah, she watched the entire time.
Like the entire time, just staring.
And
like,
plus, I'm treasure hunting. You know what I mean? I'm trophy hunting. So it's just me in a burning building walking up to walls and just like running into them. Like, see if I can do anything. Like, walk to another wall and stand by and see if there's anything to grab.
Yeah, when you're trying to get trophies or treasures in Uncharted, it looks so dumb. That's the way I played Uncharted 3 as well. It was like, I was just like running into like corners and like knocking shit over.
Yeah, you're like knocking buckets off things.
Golden Abyss is really fun, though. Yeah. It doesn't feel like a Naughty Dog game.
No, and that's not bad, though.
No.
I mean, yes. I think Sony Bend did. I reviewed it. I gave it an 8.5. I think Sony Bend did a respectable job taking on a franchise so beloved, putting it on a brand new system, and a game that's known for being graphically awesome, you know what I mean? Known for story, known for all this stuff. People know that franchise so well. So for them to come out and make this game and try to bring in this Vita stuff, I think they did a really respectable job of, you know, doing that, carrying the torch.
Now make Siphon Filter, John.
No. So anyways, PlayStation Vita is upon us finally. Pick of the week, any of those games, three games, whatever. But we have the Vita now. Here's the thing, guys. We reviewed 17 games so far this week. Ninja Gaiden's going up today. I'm including Hot Shots here. There'll be more tomorrow with Escape Plan, with me, with Tales from Space, Mutant Bob Stack. At the moment, for the 17 games, average score is 7.2. So good.
Good.
Not bad. You figure there's not many real turds in here. You got Reality Fighters at a 4.5. That's right now one of the worst. And then the next worst is Dungeon Hunter at a 5.5. I have in my possession Shinobito 2. I'm reviewing that one.
It's surprising because what you're telling me, I mean, our with the exception of Reality Fighters, the game I think we universally did not like the most at preview events was Shinobito because that game was
terrible. It was broken. It was terrible. At events, it was broken. It didn't work.
These are the guys that did Tenchu. So you have – and the game's similar to Tenchu. So you have like a have a great pedigree. I mean, Tenchu, especially on PlayStation, those games, and a couple on PS2 were fucking awesome.
Yeah, so, well, they're classic stealth games.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so it was surprising, but you know, Greg is kind of enjoying himself.
I don't hate it right now. I mean, we're all adults here. I'll talk to you a little bit about scores. Like, I'd be somewhere right now in the fives. Somewhere in there.
Oh, okay. So not as much as I thought you were enjoying.
No, I think it's just that
you make fun of it a lot.
I mean, oh yeah. Well, at E3, like we played this thing at E3 literally, and I got up and got a demo from somebody and was sitting there playing it, and I was laughing because it was like so preposterously bad. You couldn't do anything. You could barely move and blah blah blah. And now that you play it, it's all right, but it's just so repetitive and all this stuff. It's like if you're looking for like just doing the same thing over and over and over again, sure. You know what I mean?
Get Dynasty Warriors.
It strikes me as – that's what it reminds me a lot of is Dynasty Warriors.
Did we haven't reviewed that yet, right?
No, that's a next week embargo. Yeah.
Okay, got it. I still had a fine time with it at events. But
yeah.
The other game I'll point out that I reviewed is Little Deviants, which I didn't like as much as I thought I was going to like. They're strong and weak parts of the game or whatever. I know a lot of people are getting it for free with their bundles and stuff like that. So I think people will dig it. I gave it a 6. It's just inconsistent. and redundant. When you consider like Welcome Park is already on your Vita and that kind of teaches you the ropes or whatever, it's like this little deviance is, I feel bad that Big Big got shut down.
Of course. You don't want anybody to lose their job.
That's not really their strength. I mean, those are the guys that made Pursuit Force and stuff like that. So, I mean, this was kind of a different sort of game for them. But that's a, you know, you might enjoy that. Hot Shots Golf, I play the Japanese version a little bit. It's fun. It's hard. It's unforgiving. Yeah. But there's some good games here. Like I said on Twitter yesterday, this is probably the strongest launch lineup I can think of.
Ever.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Taylor Hoyt tweets. He says, do you guys think the more affordable downloadable games like Super Stardust, Delta, and Escape Plan are vital for a healthy PSV lifespan?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
I think Stardust is going to move a lot of units. I think that's going to be a big deal for people. And so, yeah, if you can keep putting out really, really cool games like that. Because that's the biggest thing right now about it from all the games we like, right? Or even the games we don't like or whatever. The games we're really big fans of aren't overdoing the touch, right? They're not shoving in like a move game. You know what I mean? Mm. It's not like, oh my God, I don't want to fucking do this. Uncharted, I think, is one of the games I reviewed that has problems with it. They force you to swipe and use this machete at points, and it's really weird. But some of the rubbing games, some of the other games like that.
I love rubbing.
Yeah, I know you do.
Rubbing.
Really
games.
Cool.
Nothing like
Luminous,
a good
same deal.
Game.
You know, you're playing, you're tapping the screen behind to power up your special move thing. And that's pretty much it. You could use the touchscreen stuff, but you're not being forced into these situations where here's this thing. It sucks. Use it. You know what I mean? Like, people are being allowed to do cool things with it. The Tales from Space game uses it really neatly, too. I know Escape Plan, you've been enjoying the same way.
Yeah,
I think that's key to it.
Touch has always been a great complement, not a supplement to traditional game controls. That's what I love about it. Like, when you're playing the Vita, like even in Hot Shots, which I was a little disappointed with, but not a bad game by any means, but playing it and, you know, you're just playing the whole thing and then you're like, oh yeah, I can like just reach my thumb over a little bit and touch this icon and then flick it in a direction to change the camera angle. Like, that's something that would have needed, like, an entire button or set of buttons dedicated to doing it. But now it's something that it frees up all the other buttons, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that really just enables developers to give us more control, you know?
Yeah.
Smart.
The one thing I do want people to keep in mind with Escape Plan is Escape Plan does have a fundamental problem with it that I've realized.
Too awesome.
It's a great game. It's really fun, and I highly recommend it. It's ingenious. That the presentation is beautiful. It's quirky and funny, and these are the guys that did Fat Princess. I mean, they're a great studio, but you know, with the games that rely on all of the mechanics on Vita, the front detach, the back, front and back touchpad, the six axis, and all that stuff.
Rear touch.
There's two problems with Escape Plan that are really fundamental. And glaring and actually make the game not as good as it could be. One is that, like, if you're right-handed, you would hold the Vita for the most part with your left hand, like holding it with like a C, like you make your hand into a C
shape. Yeah. So one finger on the top, one on the bottom.
Right, and that puts your finger right over the power button.
Yeah.
So like in heated moments, or whatever, I've shut the Vita off like six times while playing the game on accident, and the game counts your gestures and scores you based on how few gestures you do to get through a puzzle,
like golf. But,
exactly. That's exactly right. So you know, if you have to hold the Vita just so, because if you like just touch the back touchpad or put your hands on it and you'll start seeing like things pop up on the screen or whatever, like you touch it like 17 times and it like ruins your score. Like, you have to be very Escape Plan requires like you be very careful with the Vita, and it's,
that's weird for a portable device.
Yeah, it's a little it's a little annoying, and makes it takes the game from probably what would be an amazing game to just a great game.
Gotcha. Brian Stein writes in, says, developers of Mod Nation Racers Road Trip said they are quote unquote looking into a patch for online multiplayer. How likely is it in your opinion? Brian, I say not very likely at all. I'm a huge Mod Nation Racers fan. Everybody knows that. Gave this one a 7.0 for a number of little things. I don't think it's I think it's very clear. I think we're going to look back at this one. It's going to be very clear that this was a launch game. You know what I mean? Like, it's bearing leaderboards and stuff. You feel totally disconnected from everyone else when you play it. Load times are still long. The menu system is really complicated and stupid. I think not having the online things the head-to-head online play is the least of its problems right now. And I think based on my review, 7.0 good on IGN scale. Racing's still awesome. Still feels really fun to play. But I know other reviewers out there haven't been as kind to it. And I think you have to look at that if you're Sony, if you're, you know, San Diego Studios, and say, well, probably not worth putting the time into this right now. Let's move on to another project. Let's put our resources into something that has a chance of being a bit more successful than even this would be.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
Thanks, bud. I was just going to say it's disappointing about this load time stuff because I'm going to start to get less and less forgiving of bad load times when this device is not only often purely digital, but also has no like moving components.
I know,
for
it's
loading.
A cartridge. That's a cartridge. That's what I put into one of my things is you know, I'm a huge kart racing fan and I've played Mario Kart 7 to death and there is nothing like this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand what, I mean, don't get me wrong. Mod Nation Racers look obviously way better than Mario Kart does. You know what I mean? Because of just the system itself. But still, I don't understand why one can run so well and the other can't.
It's just bad. I mean, not bad programming, but it just comes down to their resources, what they did. I mean, there's always an excuse, but then at the end of the day, there's really never an excuse.
Like, there's not an excuse for those low times.
You know, yeah. I mean, like
40 seconds if you're listening to what these are.
Oh, really?
That's absurd.
Oh, I didn't know. There's no excuse for that then.
It's an absurd
amount of
time. And
it was already a little too long on PS3.
It was longer on PS3, probably, most of those courses.
Mm. All right. Well, yeah. I mean, like, to me,
Mod Nation Racers is this game that has this awesome create suite and this awesome racing, and then it gets fucked up on these little things, these little goddamn technicalities, because no one's there to be like, here's how we should present this. Here's how it should work.
It's,
again, outsider. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, man. Just the Vita. The Vita should never have bad load times. To me, a load time should not be more than, what, 3-4 seconds?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that depends. I mean, if you're opening, if it's Fallout 3 on your Vita, then maybe it takes a little longer to load. But it's
a cart, you know? This is almost the same. It mirrors the same technology where it was like instantaneous on the Super Nintendo and stuff, you know?
No, I agree with you. I mean, what surprises me is that, you know, Greg said, The Mod Nation Racers, the least of Mod Nation Racers' problems is its online play, because I think that, you know, I haven't played the game extensively and I really don't care about it that much because it's not really my thing, but that seems to be the fucking biggest problem the game has.
That's the load times.
No, the lack of online play. What is the point? Like, I think it could
run just like Luminous does. I think that's the point, and that's what they're missing, and that's what people need to get their shit together about Vita games from here on out, is that asynchronous online play is a goofy thing to say, but it works in the way of Luminous. I'm playing a game, and I don't need a multiplayer mode for that. I can just sit there and play, and then my score, wherever I am, eventually gets posted, and I see what you do, and as soon as I turn on that system, I see what you've done, where you are. I finish any mode, I see what my friends have done. That's what it needs to be. If Mod Nation Racers has a lap time function, right, where you can set high scores, but it doesn't fucking save the thing if you're offline, so you have to be connected to online. That's why you're like, what the hell, why, if you don't have online play, but this online play solution requires me to be online, that doesn't make any sense. If it was, you know, even going through career, you're setting lap times there, and then it's updating, showing me what you're doing, downloading a ghost, whatever, that's great. Because like Mario Kart 7, I have no interest in playing online. What had happened for me is I got Mario Kart 7, played the hell out of it, kept playing it on the train. And I would come home from work and I'd be like, oh yeah, there's that IGN community I've heard about. I join it. I go in and I was expecting to be put into, here's the lap, here's, you know, this course for the day, and Audrey set this time and Rich set this, and this is how you can go try to that. And it wasn't. It put me into a world where I sat around and waited for other people in that group to come play. And like, that's not what I want to do. And then just joining up in general, I didn't want to do that.
But the fact of the matter is, and what really disturbs me about that situation and that comparison between those two games is the you know, just it's real talk. The PlayStation Vita makes the Nintendo 3DS look like technical, like just garbage. I mean, like, you know, it's the Vita is a much more
real talk.
The Vita is, you know, the
Vita
strength,
is a better system.
The Vita is a far superior system in every way.
Yeah,
technically.
Yeah,
and you know, it's all about games, of course, and 3DS has games, and the games are great, and everyone, you know, no one's denying that. But on a technical level, the Vita should be able to do what fucking Mario Kart 7 can do, and that's play online. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that 3DS, you can play people online.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't do that in Mod Nation Racers, and that's just fucking weird.
That is weird.
Like, I'm
looking at that level, sure, it's weird.
I just don't understand, like how that game, and obviously it was something they hid and hadn't held close to their chest. We didn't know about that until a few weeks before the game came out.
Yeah.
And we saw that game multiple times.
What I would appreciate more from them is owning that. Saying it way up front, but your lap time is going to be this, and not being like, well, now maybe we'll patch it. Like, the boat's been missed. The reviews are out. People aren't like, you know, people are going to have this impression of this game. They're not going to double back now to get it to play online. That's the thing. You know what I mean? If you would have from the beginning been like, hey, yeah, you know, we're making Mod Nation Racers. It's awesome. No, I think, you know, whatever. I don't want to confuse games. Somebody had been talking to me about online play. But, you know, our stats say that nobody has played it online that much on PS3 or whatever, or PSP or whatever. We're not going to bother doing that. We're into this lap time thing. This is how we're doing. This is our choice. Because right now, yeah, it makes it look like
It seems like they tried and weren't able to do it.
Exactly.
Like, and that's, you know, San Diego Suda is very, very talented.
Very talented.
But it just seems to me like Mod Nation Racers is dead in the water now. Because
I agree with that.
Because people still play Mod Nation on PS3, and that game's old. Older. Yeah. I mean, it's not old, really old. It's like 2 years old. But, you know, this the legs on Mod Nation Racers is going to be people playing online. People are going to eventually get their fill of fucking downloading someone else's card and being ubiquitous with PS3 downloads and racing ghosts and stuff like that. That shit's boring, man. Like, that stuff's going to last for, like, a while. But, like, the people want to play games online with each other. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people, but I do acknowledge that that's the case. And can't you play, like, a game like Wipeout can be played online and can be played across platforms. So how is it possible that you know, one racing game does it and the other racing game doesn't? Like, what's the excuse? You know, like Wipeout is so technically superior to Mod Nation Racers that you could play it on the fucking Vita and the PS3 together. I mean, that's how crazy it is.
Yep.
So,
and it's interesting talking about Mod Nation Racers, right? Like, we talked last episode about Little Big Planet karting. That's coming out. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for Mod Nation Racers on the PS3? Is Mod Nation Racers now a PSP only thing? Whatever, all this other stuff. I mean, I think with their debut here, I think, like, if, I mean, you have to imagine, Little Big Planet Karting is the kart racer now for PS3. No more Mod Nation Racers there. And it strikes me that with this debut of Mod Nation Racers Vita, that Mod Nation Racers Vita probably is it for the Mod Nation series.
I would assume so, too.
You bring if Little Big Planet Karting works, you bring Little Big Planet Karting over to Vita eventually.
Yeah, I would assume. I mean, this didn't have to be the end, but I think that the way it was executed is it's going
that,
to be the end.
That Little Big Planet thing still weirds me out, by the way.
I can't wait to see what that's all about.
Yeah.
Marco Sanchez writes into Beyond at IGN.com, just like you can. He actually tweeted me, but that's a different story. He says, is Netflix on the Vita? Marco, it will be on the Vita. It is not yet. Neither is Twitter. I want Twitter to be up already, but when the Twitter announcement, when they talk about it, they said it'll be a day one app or whatever for Twitter. So I think they're talking launch day. So the 20 is up there next week. So I'm ready, though, because I took a photo of Mike Mitchell last night opening his Vita box with my Vita. But then I was like, oh, well, there's no way for me to get this off. So then I took out my iPhone.
The camera's terrible, too. I don't know.
The camera is awful, but I thought it would have been a little Inception-y to do it that way.
Inception.
Let's see what we got here. I'm looking at what questions we got here. Okay, hold on. Sorry.
We also have an interview to put in here.
We do. You want to do that now? Because I told you needed to give me a bump. Looks like you're doing it.
Yeah, it looks like I'm doing it right now.
All right. Hey, everybody. The test for Season 3 is happening, remember? And every time somebody gets voted off the tester and is deemed the biggest loser of the week, they get to come on Podcast Beyond. Ryan.
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right, Greg. Wait, so I'm sorry, but I just got to ask. What was I supposed to do here exactly?
I don't remember. You just gave me something to say. I think I say, that's right, Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know what? So I believe we're going to be joined by one of these people. And no. We are joined by Asuka, the most recent person to be eliminated from the tester competition. And I think she's going to have a few interesting things to say.
That's right, Ryan. This week saw Tester Season 3, Episode 2. Now, Ryan, heads up, too. When we go back and record the real show, you're going to have to give me a transition there. You're going to have to say something about it.
No problem.
Because otherwise, it's going to be...
You won't even know. Yeah.
The magic of podcast radio. see, Episode 2, Tester Season 3, finally happened. David Jaffe, the guest judge. We have with us here the second loser. Come on, Ryan. Asuka, how are you?
Great, especially for being a loser. How about you?
No, I'm great.
We're also losers, so it's all fine. It's a club in here.
Hey, you've been on the PlayStation Network. You got your life going for you. Don't worry. You're all over the internet there now. You got the shows.
They got the shows, the YouTubes.
Yeah, you got the YouTubes. Asuka, what made you want to be a part of the tester?
Well, as I mentioned, I think once or twice during the interview or whatnot. I mean, I'm a chemist by trade, and transitioning from chemistry to anything in the game industry, not so much a straight path. So
yeah.
I applied for the tester thinking, you know, I would love a foot in the door. I know being a tester is not the greatest job, and even though this year was a production associate position, it's still a foot in the door that I wouldn't be afforded any other way. So I figured, what the hell, apply, and holy crap, I was on the show.
So at what point during this episode did you just go, man, I am fucked. Like, there's no way out of this one. David Jaffe's mad at me. This is happening.
Well, okay. So David Jaffe is a can of worms that I'll talk about in a second. But honestly, when I watched the episode, I felt physically sick watching the episode.
Like, oh, why? Well,
there's a complete dichotomy between what was shown on the episode and what actually happened. And there's so much in there that, like, was edited out to make me look like a complete ass and this guy to just look like she has been. I mean, I love her to death. She's a great kid, but when I saw it, I'm just watching it going, no, that's not right. No, no, she said that.
Mm. Okay, okay. Yeah, stop. So for the listeners at home right now who are listening on their iPads, eating their Doritos, they haven't watched the tester yet. They can watch it here on IGN.com embedded in the Podcast Beyond article. But to bring them up to speed, you had to do this Twisted Metal challenge. You got, you at the end, you get voted out, but it came down to the fight between you and Sazukaden or something. I don't know. All these tester names, Ryan. Why can't people just... Game Over Greggy, Seven Winters. They're pretty easy PSN names to say. Everybody else picking things with like three U's in it.
Yeah, true.
Anyways, it comes down to a fight between you and her. And she, you know, basically she says that, quote, I believe the quote was, I've been building shit since I was like six.
No. And see, here's the thing. That's one of the things that was edited out of the show. There were... Once, she said, no, I didn't say it. My entire team was like, no, she fucking said it. Pardon my language here. No, she said it. And then another thing that was edited out was this guy actually admitting she said it.
Mm.
And I'm watching it going, no, she said it. Why are they only showing, yeah, she said I've built shit before, but she also said I've built houses. And, like, actually building houses or whatnot is an inside joke that the cast members use this year once in a while just to talk about over-exaggerated stories. It's like, really? That, oh. Oh my God!
There's some notable frustration going on in this in your voice. I can just feel it coming through the line.
The good way to like kind of relate to is what happened with Goof from season one. How he looked horrible, and then Nauseous eventually like came out and said, "No, it wasn't like it wasn't that." I mean, yeah, he made mistakes, but he wasn't like atrocious. And it's kind of how I feel right now about it. But
So are you still upset about it? You're still sick to your stomach about everything that happened?
What was that?
Are you still, like, upset? Are you still, like, sick to your stomach about it?
Well, it took a good week after I got home to kind of chill and be like, you know what? Like, that was kind of crushed. And it nowadays I'm fine with it. But, again, Stephen David Jaffe kind of pissed me off again because it was, like, there was one part during the elimination that he asked, okay, well, why did Chris Spanish catch you off guard? And that's the only thing I talked about, but it was a point because she was bringing a language barrier that wasn't needed, but I digress. Mm. I say, yes, team challenge. I need to understand my teammate all the time. I'm all for bilingual, but I am not bilingual. I don't speak Spanish. And Jaffe looked at me square in the eye and said, well, if you lived from around here, that wouldn't be an issue.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there going, what did you just say? Like, could you be any more rude and ignorant right now?
So in retrospect, do you wish you would have just given David Jaffe the business? Just fired back right at him.
I stood there so, like, I felt sucker punched. It just, I'm sitting here trying to think of some type of rebuttal that didn't call him an ignorant prick. But I couldn't, and I'm like, I'm not going to be an asshole and call him out for that, so... That's actually what led to the comment, like, during that one, like, interview segment thing with Bob, where I even said, no offense, David Jaffe, but that's bullshit. That was pretty much what I wanted to tell him right there, but I wasn't going to stay to his level.
I would like to point out, Asuka, that sometimes editing is rarely kind to people in your position, so I'm sure people realize that and don't feel so bad.
And the nice thing is a lot of cast members from my season and previous seasons, they've been really supportive, and they say, you know what happened. We saw what happened, or we know what editing does to people, and you shouldn't, like, feel bad, even though pretty much the majority of the internet is kind of singing Ding Dong, Witch is Dead, so...
Don't listen to the internet. They say a lot of things.
The internet is a cruel and ridiculous and dumb place, and the most important thing is that you know what happened. So as long as you remember what happened and what went down, that's all. That's the most important thing. That's Ryan's take on this matter.
Ryan sums up the tester, season three, episode two. Well, Asuka, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Good luck being a chemist now that this whole video game tester thing didn't work out.
Yeah. To be fair, Asuka, you're probably going to make about 4 billion times more money than all of us combined on the Podcast Beyond.
Yeah, Brent Gokey has to rent those clothes. He can't even afford clothes for the tester. Well, thank you.
I hit it, then I'll give you guys.
Take care, Asuka. Thank you very much.
Oh, you were right. She did have interesting things to say, Ryan.
But then you shouldn't have said okay, because you say that's right to me.
Doesn't matter. Well, then cut out the okay.
Yeah, I'll cut out the okay.
We're freaking beyond. No, don't worry about it. Yeah, punch your mic some more. Take out your aggression on the mic. Hey, Colin.
Yeah.
Remix 26 writes in on Twitter. He says, 32 gigabyte card. Bye.
Is this? Are we still? Shouldn't we come out of the interview now?
Yeah, I thought we were out of the interview.
We never said. You know. Okay.
I said, you were right. She was nice.
Oh shit.
You ruined it. Let's just keep this all in though.
Yeah, totally. This is what the show is. Podcast me on everybody. Right. You know.
So there was the interview. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Great. Remember, if you missed that episode of The Tester, episode 2, season 3, it's in the Podcast Beyond article on IGN. So go to IGN.com right now.
Okay. What did this listener have
Remix 26 wanted to know, 32 gigabyte card, buy?
For $100. Yeah, I mean...
But if, I mean, as much as we're downloading stuff...
Yeah, it's probably integral that you have a big card, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I agree.
I bought one. It's the most painful $100 I spent like in my life, considering that cards of three times that size do not cost that much, like in other formats.
Yeah, yeah.
32 gigabytes is nothing. That's tiny.
Yeah.
Fucking, sure. It's a total, I mean, it is a total ripoff, but I want to be able to have
I want
that
to download everything
space.
And carry it. Yeah, that's the thing. I've already started. I'm monitoring it now because I have a 16 gigabyte now I bought from Japan. And right. I'm thinking about maybe buying a
now,
US one.
Here's a question, guys. Say I do somehow fill up my 32 gigabyte card and I want to delete some games, but I want to keep my save files. Mm-hmm. Are those separate or are they all sort of packaged together? Like a game and its save file are sort of the same file. And they, if I delete one, I delete the other.
Fuck.
I don't think so. That's the way it is on PS3.
I thought they might be,
I think
though.
They might be. Because where are the local files?
I see. Like, you know, the game data.
You delete the bubble. And
yeah,
I think
you delete the bubble and that just clears everything, right? I guess you just back it up. You just send it over to...
Yeah, you could back up to your thing before you left. And I think you can bring saves over one by one that way, too.
Cool.
So maybe.
Guess that's what
we need
to
look into that. We need to look into that.
I'm probably going to end up doing like a little bit of a mix between cards and downloads. Mm-hmm. Like maybe like the smaller games like Stardust. Not smaller, but you know what I mean? Like they're probably... How dare you, sir? Their size is probably smaller.
Yeah, Stardust is only like 200 megabytes.
Yeah, so
only
like,
way you can buy it is to download it.
Yeah, those kind of games I'll probably just download. And then maybe like a huge game. Like I don't want to take up like 4 gigs, like, you know. Just for one game.
I hear you. I've been making the noise that Greg hates, but he hasn't realized it yet.
I'm hoping if I ignore it, you'll stop doing it. It's gross. It's just a gross noise. I don't know how you do that.
It's cute.
It's,
yeah, I'm just picturing like a little squirrel.
Or I can
like,
do this, like,
it's like,
is it coming through?
Yeah. Yeah, we hear it.
All right, that one's a little grosser. The one is, I'm just picturing a little squirrel and he's nibbling.
Do it. Do it.
What?
Do the noise.
I can't do the
noise. Yeah,
Steve Sickman, PSN ID, Pantsless Steve, writes in. He says, what's the deal with Platinums on the physical Vita games? Wipeout has one, but Luminous doesn't. Yeah, Steve, I don't know.
Yeah, it's bullshit. It's bullshit that Luminous
doesn't
have it.
Katamari and Luminous don't have Platinum trophies. That's stupid.
What is going on?
Luminous is like way too expensive not to have a Platinum trophy. Luminous might be the most expensive PlayStation game to not have a Platinum trophy. $40.
Well, what's Katamari? Is Katamari 42 probably?
I don't know.
40 as well. Whatever. Mm. Game's too good. Doesn't matter.
I don't really understand that either, man.
It is weird, though. Yeah, I don't understand
trophies.
What the deal is. There was a lot of confusion
about
that, too. A lot of one of the producers on Luminous was saying it did have one. Pretty vehemently coming up to it, but it does not.
BT-dub.
Unless it's hidden.
Oh.
I'm one trophy short.
Hidden.
Speaking of trophies. Man, Twisted Metal's got some fun trophies. It also has some fucking outrageous, crazy, difficult trophies.
Tell me about them.
I will tell you about them. One, so like, well, first of all, by the way, to unlock one of the cars in the game, you need to get a gold medal on every single player challenge in the game on Twisted level difficulty. That thinking about that hurts, because sometimes it's hard to survive and even come away with a bronze on normal, and then there's a hard difficulty, and then there's a Twisted difficulty.
Twisted!
So I don't know about that. There are, however, a couple really easy ones. Like, you'll heal someone once online, and it's really easy to heal someone. You can do that pretty easily.
I like that. Tales from Space, Mutant Blob's Attack, one of the trophies is look to the top of the leaderboards.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's
just
awesome.
Scroll on up to number one.
I just like, if I made a game, my trophies would be mostly contingent on just beating stages.
Yeah.
I don't want the trophies to be too easy to get, but I want people to be able to get them.
Yeah.
You know? Like, some games are outrageously easy, and I wouldn't do that, but some of the games are just like, you know what game's fucking stingy as hell with trophies is Golden Abyss.
Oh, yeah?
I beat the game on hard, and I got 1 gold, 2 silver, and like 9 bronze or something like that. And there's like a million bronze. That game
there's
is 34 chapters
a lot of,
long.
A lot of trophies. Mm.
And there's a million trophies in that game. A lot of bronzes. I got to beat it on Crushing still. I got to beat fucking Drake's Deception on Crushing still.
Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of Podcast Beyond episode 227.
By the way, Greg, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's the end of Podcast Beyond episode.
It's funny that you didn't print out the mail this week, considering all the mail we got saying that I was right about
Platinum being more important than level. Not the reason I didn't print out the mail. It's cute. Busy. You want to talk about this real quick? Last week there was a discussion, ladies and gentlemen, about trophies. Colin claiming that he actually has the better trophy score or whatever because he has more platinums, and me saying they have the whole point of trophies is that they add up to your PSN level and your percentage. That's what you should be judged on. In which I'm in front of Colin. Apparently, I don't read the email till Thursday morning. A bunch of people have written in. The people are with me. I'm sure there's people who aren't with you, but not. I'm not saying you don't have the majority opinion in that inbox. I'm just saying I'm sure there are people who are not with you.
I'll say that I have more platinums, gold, and silvers than you.
I still have the higher level, so it really doesn't count. And not to mention, again, you're three platinums ahead of me.
Yeah,
which would be Where the Wild Things Are.
Okay.
The Penguin Game from Madagascar.
Okay.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Leisure Suit Larry, you don't want to do. I'll tell you right now, don't even do it to
There's
yourself.
Another dumb kid game you have that's ahead of me, too. I forget what it is. One of the ones for. No, I have a. Rango. That's the other
Rango.
One.
Rango's tough. I'm not tough, but it takes time.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, that's the whole thing.
I can play NCIS, and I still have to do Uncharted 3, and I'll do Golden Abyss and all those. I'm always going to be ahead of you in the Platinums.
I don't care. I want to be ahead in the overall level. That's where I want to be.
Just the fact that I was ahead of you for a minute.
Yeah, I remember that.
Stealed my confidence.
Steals your confidence. In what?
S-T-E-E-L-E.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I didn't think you meant the past
it
tense
stole
of
my,
steal.
It stole my confidence.
It stealed my confidence, yo.
Stealed them away.
It was like, you know, you could do it, Colin.
Yeah, but then it's over. And you had a whole bunch of bullshit excuses on why it was going to be over, but none of those excuses were true.
Skyrim.
Yeah.
But then I
never... You haven't platinum Skyrim. You haven't even beaten Skyrim.
I refused to play it after the patching issue.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But I did go through a moment at home, you know, Greg and I live together where, you know, Greg and I go through these moments where we do nothing but play games
at home.
And then November, December, January, Greg and I didn't really play games at home.
I think we're still hungover from that too. Vita is the first time in a while I've been like, holy shit, am I excited to sit down and play X game. And it's not that we don't love games or anything like that, but when it is your job and you are here and you're crunching on reviews, when you finish that review, like you're a great example of it right now. You finish Reckoning, great, fuck, all this Vita. You finish all the Vita. Take a deep breath. Fuck. Mass Effect 3. And it's like, you know, you're in these experiences where you need to play one game really in depth forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
So that when you get out, yeah, like I've been watching a lot of Sons of Anarchy, you know what I mean? Rather than popping in a game. But now, like, I've played some Reckoning. I was like, great, but I don't feel like getting super into it. You know what I mean? And like now I have Twisted Metal. I tried to join Ryan's game last night. That didn't work. It was back to reviewing Tales from Space.
Yeah.
It's one of these trade offs to the thing. The job's awesome. We love it. It's our fucking passion. We'll never stop. But there's definitely those times where all of a sudden him and I get this itch where it's like, fuck, let's trophy hunt. You know what I mean? Let's see how long.
Yeah.
Let's push each other to do that. And like, we haven't had that since right before the rush of the holiday.
Yeah, I assume it'll come back in the spring.
Yeah,
Mass Effect 3 is probably gonna kill me. Just because of the games I've been doing, whatever, I probably have to take some time off, I think, after Mass Effect 3, just because I need to get my head straight.
But always one of those things too, like it's one of those competitions between us that's a big deal, and then you talk to Will Powers and he has like 67
oh yeah Will
trophies,
Powers
and it's
is,
like well why
Will
why,
Powers is murdering
why
us
why do we even care about this you know what I mean?
Will Powers has more platinum trophies than Greg and I combined, and then you can add like another one of us and he has more platinums than us.
Yeah, Will's insane,
and he has a girlfriend and he has a job and all these things, and he still manages to do it. I don't know how you manage your time like that, Will Powers. I know you listen to this show.
Yeah,
but
he made a good point that
God
we talk about
you.
Him a lot on the show. We've never had him on.
Oh, I love that one. He was in San Francisco not too long ago, but he's not here during...
He's not here on a Thursday.
Yeah,
he's not here on a Thursday.
And we, you know, Clements and I just saw him in December, and we spent some time with him, and he was great. He had a beautiful Valkyria Chronicles poster on his desk. I like talking about Will Powers because he's
Will
a
Powers
nice man.
Will Powers is a great guy. Will Powers is one of those... He's one of the tester success stories. Not like that Matt Brown. He flamed out.
What happened to him?
Crash and burn. That was Matt Brown's career.
What happened to him?
No, he actually works for a different division of Sony now, but he got out of the PlayStation part.
Oh, okay.
Matt Brown, great guy.
Too late. Right. You already said what you said.
Ah, he knows I'm kidding. He was another Beyond fan. Everyone so far, even though I was a judge on the tester season 3, I do not know who won at all. But so far, the first two seasons, the people who won were Podcast Beyond fans. So I'm just saying, if you listen to the show, apparently
you got
an
inside
edge
track
in the tester.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, I got some important shit we need to talk about.
What about?
I know we're running a little long.
Oh fuck!
Who gives a shit?
Who's the dude from Life in 24 Frames?
Chris.
Okay. He wanted to come to the Up at Noon filming today. But he talked to me 2 weeks ago, which was a bad move, and I forgot to put him on the list and everything else. I don't know if he's coming today. Do you have a cell phone?
Yeah, I can call him. Right. I mean, that's not a problem. He can call me if he has a problem. All right, guys. Here's what we need to talk about, because you brought up Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, which I've been really enjoying. But I have a big fucking problem with that game, and I think we need to take it.
Oh, you're playing on PC? Yeah, that's your problem.
That is a huge problem.
I need a video card, some RAM
cartridges
in the background.
Not getting any trophies?
Shut the fuck up. I'll mute your mic. All right.
How many buttons does your mouse have?
What is this, around the horn? Not a reference that you're going to get, I don't think, Ron.
No, he won't. He has no idea what that show is.
Yeah. All right. No, this is a serious problem, and I think we all need to take to Twitter, okay. And I think we all need to tweet Ryan Geddes, who is just at funnel, P-H-U-N-N-E-L, and you need to specifically, very politely, request this feature that he communicated to his team over there on the East Coast, okay? Because as you know, IGN alum Ryan Geddes now works with the folks that do Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. Greg, you're distracting me. What are you doing?
You can't fucking speak while I doodle. I doodle all the time during the show.
Yeah, I know, but it's interesting. You're doodling on a computer. Anyway, Colin, tell me what you think about this.
Mm-hmm.
I already get a little annoyed at inventory systems that mark things with new when you pick them up, okay? Because to me, it's sort of like, it's like, it puts all this shit on my screen. I don't really want that. I know what I got. I picked it up.
Star
I know
icons
what it's
is
called.
What you're talking about.
What's that?
You're talking about the star icons?
The star icons. Yeah. Now,
you're talking about how it flashes new next to like,
it
all,
and it also
something.
Says new and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's all, you know, whatever. I can tolerate. What I can't tolerate is that even items you already have, like Ember Eyes clippings, you get another one of the 70 you already have. It puts a fucking star and marks your inventory with new again. It's not new. You've gotten 70 of them. You just have another one of them. And that, to me, that just jumbles that entire inventory system. Yeah. It marks shit up. I don't know what's going on. I feel like
good
that
job,
team should patch, do work hours and hours and patch the ability to just not have that new marking.
How many points would that raise your score?
It would lower my score because that was one of my favorite parts of the game.
Just the marking is new, huh?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely
right.
They
can keep it, but items you already have, that doesn't make sense, and it just clutters the system.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I didn't write about it because it's so fucking minuscule, but the star thing that annoyed me and like my OCD temperant and playing RPGs,
I have to
go through
down.
Them. Yeah. And then every time, and then eventually I had to be like, I can't do this anymore. This is like literally going to take me half the time I'm playing the game if I have to go through my menu all the time. But you're right. That's annoying. Some people are not impressed with the menus in general. Anomaler. I think the menus are fine.
Yeah, you know what? I'm in that camp, dude. I don't think
they're fine.
I don't think those menus are very good.
I'm saying it's fine.
They're kind of clunky. I think that
I agree with
they're
that.
You know they're kind of hard to read. They look a little cheap.
I agree with like, that.
You trying to make Ken Rolston cry?
No, I think that game
doesn't care. He's fucking in his Ferrari speedboat on the fucking
I'm really enjoying the game. But anyway, folks, I think we should all politely petition Ryan Geddes on Twitter and just be like
@funnel.
You know,
P-H-U-N.
Hey Ryan, you guys should patch the inventory system so it doesn't mark items you already have as new when you get an extra one. That's all I need
to say.
This
is what you're going
to
make people download a patch for a game that basically runs fine and basically flawlessly runs.
I have a feeling that this would be a really easy patch to make.
Yeah, but people are still
going
to download
this. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond episode 127. I don't think I added any numbers there.
227.
You're 100 back into this. Where's Jeff Hayes? What happened to Jeff? Remember, Podcast Beyond is a great podcast that goes up on Thursday, and you should listen to it. And if your friends don't
listen to it right now.
But they... restart the episode. If your friends don't listen, tell them to listen and rate us on iTunes and spread the word about how cool Podcast Beyond is. But also remember that Podcast Beyond doesn't pay the bills. IGN.com does. So please go to IGN.com. We're a small upcoming blog. And read the articles and reviews and stuff we post and all that jazz. Make sure to be part of the conversation by sending in emails to beyond@IGN.com, which I usually read. And follow us and talk to us on Twitter. IGN is @IGN. I am @GameOverGreggy. Ryan is @PwamCider. That's a PWAM.
Thank you.
And then no taxation over here is Colin Moriarty @ no taxation. Also, watch. Go to youtube.com/start and watch my show Up at Noon. We need you. And I think that's it. Ryan, take me home.
Sounds good. You can. We always play a song at the end of Podcast Beyond, usually by a community member. So send those to beyond@IGN and attach the song as an MP3. Just like Joshua did, who is sort of a Podcast Beyond alum as well, who writes, "Hey Ryan, I've got a song submission for the podcast today. You played a song by my band Castile before, and we got so much positive feedback that I'd like to debut a new song to the Beyond community. This song is called This River's an Ocean, and has never been heard by anyone outside of the band. I hope everyone likes it. You can find us at facebook.com/Castile Band. Castile is spelled Castille. And wherever digital music is sold, thanks, Ryan, and whichever mic mates you have today. those mic mates being Greg and Colin. Thank you very much, Joshua, and thank you, Castile, for debuting your song This River's an Ocean on Podcast Beyond, episode 227 Beyond.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.